Good to see each of you tonight. And if you have your Bible, if you'll be turning to the Revelation letter in the 19th chapter, we'll begin our study there in just a moment of time. And we have some visiting with us tonight and want you to feel at ease as you make your visit. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In just a few moments, we'll be standing and singing a song that's been suggested. If you've never put Christ on in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess Christ as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, we'll be praying within our hearts you'll do so this very evening. And the Revelation letter and the 19th chapter, if you will kindly, begin reading with me at verse 11 and read down through verse 16. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I did not ask Brother Butler to lead the song before the lesson, but that's exactly what we're going to be talking about, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I think we need to listen to these words penned by the last writer of the New Testament. And this is a message that needs to be proclaimed in every pulpit, that there is none like Jesus. And I think for a moment we need to stop and think about what Jesus needs. First of all, Jesus doesn't need water because in John 4, he declares he's the water of life. And you can read through the book of John and you'll find that Jesus doesn't need bread because he says he is the bread of life. Nor does Jesus need light, because Jesus declared in John 9, I am the light of the world. And Jesus doesn't need directions, because Jesus says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All this is to say that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what I'd like for us to do is stop and think about what that reveals to us. Just what does it mean to us to know that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? First of all, it shows the priority of our Lord, that he is superior in rank. Look in your Bible back in the book of John and the 19th chapter. And when you come to the book of John and the 19th chapter, you'll find that at this time, Pilate is mocking Jesus. And he has set him before the people, and he says in verse 14, Behold your king. Now, Jesus really is the King of Kings, but Pilate says this in a mocking manner. And Pilate does not recognize that he is declaring a truth that Jesus is the King. He is not only a King, he is the King. He is the King that reigns over his spiritual kingdom. He is the King that is superior to all man kings because he reigns from on high. He is the King of Kings, and I want you to go back to John chapter 1 and notice what John had to say about more than that. In John chapter 1, look at the first three verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing that was made was made. Then if you take your Bible, drop down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When you look at Jesus, not only is he the King, he is the Lord. He was there in creation. He is the one that created things. And notice that at this time, in John chapter 8, listen again to what the writer says in verse 58, before Abraham was, I am. And that's the Lord I preach. He's my Savior. He's dwelt in eternity. He's always existed. He is God's only begotten Son. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is over all and has authority over all things. But secondly, not only do we see the priority of our Lord, we see the power of our Lord. And I sometimes wonder if people realize just how powerful the Lord truly is. When you take your Bible and look in the Colossian letter and the first chapter, you remember that the writer Paul brings it to the mind of the people that by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. And then notice what he says, all things were created through him, and not only that, all things were created for him. When I look at the priority of our Lord, I see that He has always existed. I see that He has all might. But then I look at the power of our Lord, and I see what He did in creation. I think about the fact that He created this world. But not only that, I think about what He's able to do with the human body after it dies. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. That there's going to come a day that the body that is dust will be turned into something glorious. In 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 30. In verse 30, you'll remember that when Paul was writing, or drop down to verse 35, and notice Paul says, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Foolish ones, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies, and what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body. And he says he gives it a body as he pleases. But notice he's going to give it a body that is incorruptible. A body that will never decay. He has the power to change our bodies from the dust of the ground to a heavenly body. And in John 17, notice when Jesus is making that high priestly prayer to Jesus, you'll find he has power over all flesh and the power to give eternal life to one. In John 17, look if you will at verse 2. As he's praying to the Father, he says, you have given him authority over all flesh that he should give, watch it, eternal life to as many as you have given him. Now, my friend, this is my Jesus. He is superior in rank. He is to have priority. And secondly, he has power. But the third thing I want to bring to your mind is the propitiation of our Lord. We need to consider the Lord is the one who died for our sins. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2. And when you come to 1 John chapter 2, look at what John had to say in regard to Jesus. He says in verse 2, he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Look at that word, propitiation. Notice this carries with it the idea of the mercy seat. It is that which appeases the wrath of God and fulfills all righteousness. And notice that Jesus has done that. Our Lord did not say we're not sinners and stand under the condemnation of us. He freely admits we're sinners. But he's willing to pay the price to take away sin. In Isaiah 59 and verse 2, you remember Isaiah said, your sin, your iniquities have separated for you from God. And he said, your sins have hidden the face of God. It is sin that has caused the separation between God and man. But the cross is the only means of reconciliation for man. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And when you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at what Paul had to say in verse 19. In verse 19, it said, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespass to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. This is my Jesus. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He has all priority. He has all power. He has provided propitiation. But I want you to think of one last thing he's done. You want to know why I worship him as King of kings and Lord of lords? You want to know why I bow my knee to him in a prayer? You want to know why I glorify his name and magnify him as the King and give him praise as the Lord? because he provides for his sheep. Open your Bible to the book of John in the 10th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 10th chapter, Jesus is talking, and on this occasion, look at what he says beginning at verse 27. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And why give them what? Eternal life." Oh, underscore that. That's beautiful. The shepherd is giving the sheep what they need, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Then if you take your Bible, look in the Roman letter in the 8th chapter. And when you come to the Roman letter in the 8th chapter, again we need to hear the words beginning at verse 35. In verse 35, notice down through verse 39. When we look at the one who provides for us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You ever thought of the power of His love? Now, sin separates us from God, but nothing separates us from the love of God. If we are lost eternally, we're lost with God still loving us. It's because we've rejected His pardon, we've rejected His propitiation, we've rejected everything He's offered to reconcile us to Him, even though we are the transgressor, even though we're the one that brought enmity into the relationship, even though we're the reason that there is this separation. God still loves man, and if man goes to hell, God loves him even as he leaves, because God says to look at the people and He says, nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. But we can separate ourselves from God. It gives God no pleasure when it is the King to say, depart from me, I never knew you. But what it gives Him pleasure is when we are His sheep and He can give us eternal life. Open your Bible and look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Even in death, He preserves me. Even in death, I have hope in my Savior, and that's why He's my King. He said, but in verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, my friend, that is my Jesus. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The question I have for you tonight is He King of kings and Lord of lords in your life? And if you're not a child of God, what we need to do is bow down to Jesus, make Him our Lord, make Him our King, and follow His direction. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come.